Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. I do encourage you to check out the other podcasts we offer. If you love old-time Radio Detectives, check out our public domain video theater, which is currently rotating programs going back and forth between episodes of Boston Blackie and episodes of Dragnet. Just go to videotheater.greatdetectives.net to follow that. Then there's also The Amazing World of Radio. It's a series that exists to bring you the summer series selected by our Patreon supporters. And I also throw in a few little things of my own. We did a spring series based on Les Miserables, for example. And we also do specials for Thanksgiving and Christmas. Right now, we're working through our summer series where we're listening to great movies over radio. This week, we'll be doing The Maltese Falcon with Edward G. Robinson. You can subscribe to The Amazing World of Radio at amazing.greatdetectives.net. And then there's the Classy Comics podcast at classycomicsguy.com. And on that podcast, I'm looking for the best and classiest comics in the universe. So classic comics and really good modern day comics are my main focus. So check it out, classycomicsguy.com. Well, now it's time for today's episodes of Nick Carter. The original air dates, April 24th and 25th of 1944, and it's Kidnapped for Sale, Parts 6 and 7.
In their effort to smash a criminal ring that's stealing babies and selling them for adoption, Nick Carter, his secretary Patsy, and his assistant Scubby have been captured by the gang and taken to a deserted warehouse. Dutch, one of the gang's gunmen, has orders to kill all three of them as soon as he receives a signal from the chief, one of the leaders of the gang. With his gun ready, Dutch waits for the signal.
There's the chief's signal that it's all clear. You know what, Carter? I got a funny feeling this gun I'm pointing at you is going to go off when I count three. Like this. One. Two.
Dutch! Did you know the cops are looking for you already?
Huh? What do you mean they're looking for me?
There's a dragnet out for you right now. Why do you suppose the chief kept you in that back office all day?
Why,
so the cops wouldn't find you.
It's a lie. Cops got nothing on me.
Oh, yes, they have. They want you for Arnold's murder.
I didn't have nothing to do with that.
Yes, you did, Dutch. You left a clue on Arnold's body that will send you to the chair.
You're trying to pull a fast one, Carter. But you're not gonna. When I count three...
Give me 1 minute, and I'll prove what I'm saying.
Prove it? Oh.
Dutch, you helped carry Arnold's body into my office, didn't you?
What if I did? That don't prove that.
You carried Arnold's feet, and you left a fingerprint on this polished shoe.
That's a lie, Carter.
I said I'd prove it, and the proof is in my pocket. A photograph of that print.
I don't believe it.
Look for yourself. It's here in my breast pocket.
You're lying, Carter. It's just a trick to get
Look
me to...
Look for yourself, I said. I can't do anything to you while I'm tied up this way, can I?
Well, in this pocket, you say?
Yes.
There's your picture in here, right?
Take it out, and you'll see if I'm lying.
It's a picture of a fingerprint, all right.
Your print. See that cross-shaped scar? That's the print of your left thumb.
Hey, you're right. It is my thumb.
And that's what the cops have on you.
They won't get me. When I finish with you, I'm going to leave town.
That'll be too late. Your biggest danger isn't from the police, Dutch.
What do you mean? Who else is after me?
The chief.
The chief? I don't get it.
Why did the chief kill Arnold?
To shut him up before the cops could get him.
Now the cops are after you. How long do you think the chief will let you live?
He wouldn't bump me off.
No, as soon as you've killed us, he's going to put you out of the way. Didn't you hear him get his orders over the telephone back in the office?
Yeah, I did hear him mention my name.
Unless you do something quick, you're as good as dead, Dutch.
Yeah, let me think.
Scubby, Nick's got me scared.
I'll trust Nick to think of something.
I don't believe you, Carter. This is just a trick.
If it's just a trick, why did the chief lock the warehouse door when he went out just now?
He didn't.
If you think I'm wrong, try it and see.
All right, I will.
Scubby, quick. Turn your back to me and try to get hold of the loose end of the rope around my wrists.
Yeah, okay. I got it.
Good, pull it.
Harder. Harder. Okay, I did it. It's loose.
Pull it, all right. Why?
Why'd he lock it?
So there'd be no chance of you making a getaway after shooting us.
What a dirty double cross. I'll take care of him.
Here he comes now.
You can't do that to me.
Well, Dutch, have you finished? They're still alive.
Yeah, I ain't plugged him yet.
Why not, you fool? I gave you the signal 3 minutes ago.
I got to thinking.
Thinking? Who told you to think? I see you need a lesson in obeying orders.
The cutter was right. Yeah. So you were gonna bump me off, were you?
The chief's dead.
Yeah. He's dead, all right.
And you better be making your getaway. Somebody may have heard those shots.
Yeah. First, I got something else to tend to. I'm gonna carry out the same plan. Only it's the chief who's gonna stay here with you and not me. Hey, where's Carter?
Right behind you, Dutch.
What the...
Nick, you've knocked him out cold.
Yes, and I think he'll stay out for a while. Now I'll get you two unpacked.
Oh, Nick, you're wonderful.
Now, Patsy, just try to think faster and farther than the other fellow, that's all.
The way you got loose and sneaked around behind him that way. Oh, Nick.
Oh, if that knot hadn't come loose the way it
did,
well, we'd...
Scubby, and that's all that matters now. There you are, Patsy. I'll get you loose, Scubby.
Okay. Yeah.
But how did you get the knot untied, Nick? The chief said it was a special knot that no one could untie.
That was his mistake. Remember he said a magician taught it to him? Well, he was right. It was a magician's knot. Holds tight forever unless you know the trick. But I know something about magic myself in an amateur way, and I knew that knot would come loose with one pull.
Oh, I see.
But I couldn't pull it myself because he didn't leave the end long enough. There you are, Scubby.
Oh, thanks. Boy, it sure feels good to be able to stretch again.
What about the chief, Nick? Is he really...
Dead? Yes. He'll never answer any questions for us. Dutch got him through the heart.
Well, what'll we do now, Nick?
Scubby, you take Patsy back to the office and wait for me there.
Yeah.
I'm going to take Dutch to police headquarters. As soon as he comes to, I'm going to ask him a few questions.
Yeah.
You're at police headquarters.
Yeah, and if you know what's good for you, you're going to talk.
Oh. I don't know nothing.
Listen, Dutch. You're booked for murder. Your only chance to beat the chair is to tell us everything you know.
The chair's too good for the likes of you. But if you talk, you'll maybe get off with only a life sentence.
Oh, look, I don't know nothing, I tell you. If I did, I'd spill it, but I don't.
Come on now, tell us. Who's the real head of the gang? The one who gave the chief orders.
Oh, I don't know. Nobody knew him but the chief. All the rest of us got our orders from the chief.
Lying ain't going to get you anywhere.
I don't think he is lying, Riley. I was afraid he wouldn't know. The real leader's too clever to have any dealings with a small fry.
Well, then we're no better off than we were before, Nick.
I haven't finished questioning him yet. Dutch, where's Mrs. Anders' baby now?
Oh, I don't know that either.
You must have heard them talking about it.
No, not enough to learn, no.
You worked with Arnold. Didn't he mention the name of the couple he sold the baby to?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe he did. I can't remember.
You better remember if you know what's good for you.
Wait a minute, wait. Yeah, I think I got it. Yeah, Smith, that's it. Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
And the first name?
Oh, I don't know. Arnold never said.
That's no good to us. There's a million Smiths.
There may be a million Smiths, Riley, but I think I can find the particular Smiths who have Mrs. Anders' baby.
Glory be, how can you find the right Smith out of so many of them?
I haven't time to explain. See what you can get out of Dutch. I'm going to find Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yes, this is Mrs. Anders. Who's this?
Mrs. Anders, can anyone overhear you?
No. No, they can't.
Good. Now, Mrs. Anders, I want you to keep quite calm until you've heard what I have to say.
Keep calm? But what is it? Is it about my baby? He's not...
Your baby is perfectly all right, Mrs. Anders.
Oh, thank heaven.
Naturally, you want him to keep on being all right, don't you?
Oh, yes, of course I do.
In that case, you must get hold of yourself and listen to me.
Yes, all right. I'll be calm. Really, I will.
Very well. Now, Mrs. Anders, I'm sure you'll be pleased to know your baby has been adopted by a very fine couple who love him as if he were their own.
Yes, but he's mine. He's my baby. They can't
take him. You mustn't interrupt. I haven't much time. This couple are able to give the baby the best of everything. More, I'm sure, than you and your husband ever could.
But that's not important. He's my baby. It doesn't matter if we're rich or not. We can take care of him. He belongs to us, not somebody else.
You should have thought of that before you agreed to let him be adopted.
But I didn't agree to let him be adopted. I didn't. They were going to take care of him for a month just while I was away. They stole him from me.
Mrs. Anders, I warn you that if you can't be calm, I'll hang up.
Yes, I'm calm now. Please don't hang up.
No matter how you came to part with him, the fact is he's safe and happy where he is. Unless you want to risk his life, you'll agree to leave him where he is and make no more effort to find him.
But I couldn't do that.
If you persist in trying to find him, Mrs. Anders, you may regret it the rest of your life.
Oh, no, no.
I'm speaking as a friend. If you love your baby...
Oh, I do. That's why I want him back.
I say if you love your baby, you'll go straight to Nick Carter and make him withdraw from the case.
Go to Nick Carter and tell him I don't want him to find my baby.
Exactly. And you'll make sure he does what you ask.
But then I'd never see my baby again.
Which is more important, knowing your child is alive and growing up well and strong, or seeing him again, dead?
Oh, no, no.
You have to make the choice. Now, quickly, what do you say?
No, I can't.
Hurry, Mrs. Anders. It's life or death for your baby.
I'll tell Mr. Carter.
That's a very wise decision. But you mustn't tell him why you're asking him to give up the case. You understand?
No, I...
Tell him that you've been thinking it over and that you've decided the baby would be too much of a burden for you and your husband.
Oh.
That you want the people who have him to keep him.
All right, I'll tell him.
And see to it that he believes you. Goodbye, Miss Anders.
Nick, what did you learn from Dutch?
You learned something. I can tell that.
I didn't learn much, but I think it may be enough. Patsy, hand me the suburban telephone book, will you?
Telephone book?
No, of course, Nick. Here it is.
Ah, thank you. Now, let's see. O-R-S. Samson, Simpkin, Smith. Huh, two columns of Smith.
Oh, what Smiths are you looking for?
The ones who have Mrs. Anders' baby. Who else?
Huh? Oh, sure, yeah. Who else?
Let's see. Aha, here we are. It's either the Howard Smiths or the Richard Smiths.
But how do you know, Nick?
Dutch said a couple named Smith took the baby.
But out of all the Smiths in the world, how could you possibly...
Just by putting the clues together, Patsy.
But...
Stop and think. You know them as well as I do.
Maybe I do, but I'm afraid you'll have to tell me just the same.
All right, Patsy, I will. Later.
Oh, Nick.
Right now, Scubby and I are going after the baby, and every minute counts.
Oh, that's swell, Nick. Hey, will it take long?
An hour, perhaps. I have to drive about 15 miles. Patsy, you take care of the office while we're gone.
Why can't I come, too?
Two of us are enough. You can do more good here.
Oh, all right, but I'll be on pins and needles until you get back.
Right. Now, Scubby, I'll...
Oh. I'll answer it. Yes? Oh, it's Mrs. Anders. Come in, dear.
Come in, Miss Bowen. I must speak to Mr. Carter at once.
Yes, of course. He's right here.
Good evening, Mrs. Anders.
Mr. Carter, I...
I've only got a moment now, Mrs. Anders, but I think I can promise you that I'll have good news for you very soon.
Good news?
Mm-hmm.
You mean you know where my baby is?
Yes, Mrs. Anders. You may have it back before the night's over.
No. No, I don't want it back.
You don't want your baby back.
Say, what is this?
I've been thinking it over. Baby is too much of a burden for me. I want the people who have it to keep it.
Want them to keep it? Mrs. Anders?
Yes, I never want to see it again. Mr. Carter, you've got to stop trying to find it.
Mrs. Anders, you can't be serious.
But I am. I mean every word of it. You've got to drop the case. Promise me you will.
But Mrs. Anders...
No, Patsy, no. There's no use arguing with her. She may...
Oh, I do. Promise me you won't go any further, Mr. Carter. Please promise me.
All right, Mrs. Anders. I promise.
But, Nick, where are we going? You haven't told me where to drive to yet.
We're going to Midvale, Scubby. Know how to get there?
Oh, sure. That's about 15 miles north of here. Oh, we are going after Mrs. Anders' baby, aren't we?
Yes, Scubby. And every second counts.
But, Nick, what about your promise to Mrs. Anders that you'd stop trying to find her baby?
I had to make that promise for her sake, Scubby. She was trying hard to control her feelings, but she was obviously on the verge of hysterics. I'm sure she was terrified by something.
Yeah, she sure was upset, all right.
She couldn't have changed her mind about wanting to give her baby up. She loved it too much. No, Scubby, the gang undoubtedly threatened to harm her child unless she made me give up the search for it.
So that's it?
Yes. And if they're going to harm it, they'll do it whether I give up the case or not. That's why I'm going ahead in spite of my promise to Mrs. Anders. There's too much at stake to quit now.
Right, Nick. I'll have you in Midvale in 15 minutes. Only, why Midvale?
Because that's where all the clues point to.
What clues, Nick? I didn't know we had any yet.
You're just not putting them together, Scubby. Start with the clue Patsy and I found in Arnold's apartment.
Oh, you mean the burnt piece of paper with the words Main Street and $3,000 on it?
That's one of the clues. It told us that the baby had probably been sold to some couple living on Main Street.
Yeah, but it didn't say what Main Street, Nick. And there are thousands of them.
I know. But Dutch Jennings told us the couple's last name was Smith.
Yeah, but there must be an awful lot of Smiths living on all the different Main Streets in this country.
Right. However, luckily enough, though, we have another clue you haven't mentioned.
Huh? Oh, have we? I didn't know about it.
Oh, yes, you do, Scubby. That telephone call the chief got while we were tied up in his office. Remember it?
Oh, sure, I remember it. Well, what about it?
During the conversation, the chief mentioned Midvale. Then said, oh, you're going to pick it up yourself and ship it out of the state. That'll be safer.
I get it. They must have been talking about the baby. So that gives us Main Street, Midvale, Smith, three different little clues put together to make one big one.
Exactly.
Right?
And the telephone directory lists only two Smiths on Main Street in Midvale. A Howard Smith at 517 Main Street and a Richard Smith at 921 Main.
Then one of them must be the Smith we want.
Right, Skelly. And in 10 minutes, I expect to find out which one it is.
Well, here's the 500 block on Main Street, Nick. 517 must be one of those houses right there.
Don't stop directly in front of it, Scubby. Pull up a couple of houses beyond.
Right, Nick. Yeah, that's 517. That little frame house with the porch light on. Look, I'll park up by the streetlight and
you can
get
up. No, never mind stopping. Never mind. This isn't the place.
It isn't?
No.
Well, for Pete's sake, how do you know it isn't?
Just by looking at it. That porch light told me enough to be positive Mrs. Anders' baby isn't there.
Oh, detecting is nice work if you can get it. But I don't get it, Nick.
Well, thanks, Scubby. It's a small house, badly in need of paint.
Yeah.
And on the porch, there were three bicycles and a tricycle.
Yeah.
Well, what does that mean to you?
Huh? Three bicycles. Well, I suppose that means three kids in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And the tricycle probably means another one, not big enough for a bicycle yet, huh?
Right, Scubby. A family with four children, at least, in a small house that needs repairs. So?
Oh, sure, those Smiths don't have much dough. With four kids to take care of, they aren't going to adopt another one. They got their hands full now.
Exactly. So let's try the Richard Smiths at 921 Main.
Okay. Well, that must be 921 up there in the middle of the next block. Yeah, and it's a new house, too.
Mm-hmm. New and expensive. The lights are on, which means they're at home.
Uh-huh. Oh, do you want me to drive by and stop?
No, stop right in front of the house.
Okay.
Good. Come on.
Yeah. Think we'll have any trouble, Nick?
I doubt it. These people must know they got the baby the wrong way. They should be only too glad to give it up to avoid trouble.
Well, I'll ring. Hey, you're positive that these are the people who've got Mrs. Anders' baby, Nick?
I'd stake my reputation on a scurvy. You see those muddy wheel marks on that walk up the side of the house?
Oh, yeah. A baby buggy made those, all right.
Mm-hmm. Which means that they have...
Yes? What is it?
Mr. Smith?
Yes, I'm Mr. Smith.
My name's Nick Carter.
Oh.
This is my assistant, Mr. Wilson.
How do you do?
I'd like to talk to you. May we come in?
Is there any reason you can't talk here?
Not if you prefer.
I do. What is it?
Mr. Smith, we've come for that baby you and your wife adopted about 2 weeks ago.
Baby? What are you talking about?
You know very well what I'm talking about. There's no use trying to bluff us.
I don't know what you're talking about. You're either crazy or making a bad mistake. There's no baby in this house, Mr. Carter. There never has been a baby in this house. And as far as I'm concerned, there never will be a baby here. Good night, sir.
Gosh, Nick, what are we going to do now? That wasn't the right place after all.
Scubby, I couldn't have been mistaken.
Well, that Smith guy certainly was positive about it.
Yes, Scubby, a little too positive. As if he had his answer ready even before we arrived.
Oh, you mean you think that he...
Oh, Scubby, Stop in front of this drugstore we're coming to.
The drugstore? Okay, Nick. Oh, what are you going to do in here?
I noticed the only drugstore in the neighborhood. I'd like to ask the druggist some questions. Wait for me, will you?
Yeah, sure.
Evening. Something I can do for you?
I wonder if you could tell me how to reach 917 Main Street, Mr. Richard Smith's house.
Miss Smith's? Straight down the street, about two blocks. Big new house on your right.
Thanks very much. I wonder if you could tell me how old the baby they've adopted is. I'd like to buy a present for it.
How old?
Yes.
Well, I'm afraid I can't say. It must be pretty small, though.
That's so?
Yes, they bought special baby food about 10 days ago. The other day, they got some Castile soap and some baby powder.
I see.
Can't be a very old baby.
Well, thanks. Then I guess I'll take a chance and buy it a teddy bear. I think that one on the corner there will do very nicely.
This one?
Yes.
$2.98, mister.
Here's a $5. Keep the change.
Why, thanks.
Well, did you find out anything, Nick?
Yes. Back to the Smiths, Shelby.
Yeah?
This time, they're going to talk if we have to make them do it.
Now, listen here. You can't force your way into my house like this. Get out. Get out at once.
Not until you've done a little talking. Close the door, Scubby.
Right, Nick.
This is an outrage. Richard, I'm going to call the police.
Go right ahead, Mrs. Smith. We'll wait here till they come.
I'll handle this, my dear. Mr. Carter, for the last time, I order you to leave this house.
And for the last time, I refuse. Now, suppose we step into the living room and talk more comfortably here.
We have nothing to talk about. We've already told you there's no baby in this house.
There certainly is not.
I believe there's no baby here now, Mrs. Smith, but I'm positive that until a few hours ago, you had a baby here. Now, where is it gone?
But we didn't. I tell you, we didn't.
Then how do you explain this?
Oh.
It's a baby's rattle.
Yes, I spotted it under the sofa a second ago. You overlooked it, Mr. Smith, when you and your wife tried to get rid of all the signs that there had been a baby here.
Oh, tell them, Richard. Go on, tell them.
Dorothy?
No, Richard, I can't lie any longer. Yes, we did adopt a baby, but now they've taken it away again.
That's better. Who took it?
A man called for it only an hour ago. He told us we'd get into serious legal trouble if we didn't give it up.
That's right, Mr. Carter. The man who came for it said there'd been a mix-up, and the baby's mother was threatening legal action. He told us that if we denied ever having had the baby, we could stay in the clear.
It was such a sweet baby. I couldn't understand the mother ever being willing to give it up in the first place. But I suppose the $3,000 meant more to her than the baby did.
You paid $3,000 for that baby?
Yes. We tried hard to adopt one the usual way, but we were told we'd have to wait and wait. So when this Mr. Arnold got in touch with us, we talked it over and then...
And you got mixed up in one of the newest and dirtiest rackets in existence.
Well, what do you mean?
Arnold was a member of a gang specializing in getting hold of babies and selling them to people like you. People anxious to adopt a child. The baby you adopted was stolen from its mother.
Oh, no!
We never dreamed that
it... No, of course not. Never mind that now. The baby's life's in danger. We've got to find fast. Now, tell me all you can about the man who came for the baby.
Well, he was no one we'd ever seen before. But he knew all about the baby and said Arnold had sent him.
Yes?
He gave us our money back and said he was going to take the baby back to its mother. And if we'd keep our mouths shut, there wouldn't be any trouble.
What did he look like?
He was about 30 and thin. He had dark hair and eyes, and he talked with a slight foreign accent.
How was he dressed?
He had a dark coat and vest that didn't fit quite right. He was wearing dark slacks of a different material. Whipcord, I think.
Coat that didn't fit and whipcord slacks, huh? That isn't the way I should have expected the head of this gang to dress. Is that all you can tell us?
I'm afraid it is. We wrapped the baby up well, and this man took it away in a car.
What kind of car?
It was a dark sedan. I couldn't see it very well from the window.
Dark sedan, huh? Was anyone else in it?
I think there was. I got the impression there was someone sitting in the back seat.
But the man who got the baby was the one who drove the car away.
Yes, that's right.
I see. Anything else?
I'm afraid not.
Oh, gosh, Nick, that doesn't give us much of a clue as to where they've taken the baby.
No, Scubby, it doesn't. And yet I have a hunch that... that somewhere there must
be... Is that... I'll answer, Griffin. Hello? Yes, this is Mrs. Smith. Mr. Carter? Oh, yes, he's here. Just a moment. It's for you, Mr. Carter.
For you, Nick? Well, who knows you're here?
Patsy, probably. She knew we were coming here. Hello?
Nick, is that you?
Yes, Patsy, what's up?
Nick, Mr. Randolph Phelps just phoned the office.
Phelps? What about?
He didn't say. Just said it was very important and he wanted you to get in touch with him the minute you came in.
I see. Did he leave his number?
Yes. Rivertown, 312.
Rivertown? Well, that's about 20 miles from here. I'll call him right away. Thanks, Patsy. See you later.
Well, what is it, Nick? Anything important?
Yes, Cubby. It may be the break we need. Mr. Smith, you mind if I make a call on your phone?
Well, of course not. Go right ahead.
Thanks. Operator, I'd like Rivertown 312, please.
Is that the Phelps who's connected with the infant's hospital, Nick? The one who wants to help find the baby?
Yes, Cubby. Maybe he's got...
Hello?
Oh, hello. Hello, Mr. Phelps?
Yes, speaking.
This is Nick Carter, Mr. Phelps.
Oh, yes, Mr. Carter. I'm certainly glad to hear from you. I want your advice.
Advice?
About half an hour ago, I had a phone call from someone who wouldn't give me his name. He spoke with a slight accent. And...
Accent?
Yes. He said he wanted to speak to me privately. That he had a proposition for me.
What kind of proposition?
He wouldn't come straight out with it, but he intimated that if I'd use my connection with the infant's hospital to supply him certain information, he would pay me $50,000 a year.
I see.
I thought he was probably a member of the baby selling ring, maybe the head of it. So I pretended to be interested.
Go on.
I told him I'd talk to him, and he insisted on seeing me at once. He said he'd be here inside of an hour. I thought perhaps you'd like to be here when I talk to him.
Good. I'll come at once. If he shows up before I get there, stall him along. I'll be there inside of 30 minutes.
So just when it seemed that Nick and Scubby had at last uncovered the whereabouts of the Anders baby, an unknown man with an accent got away with the baby almost under their very noses. Once again, it looks as if the baby-selling gang has beaten Nick to it. But now that man with an accent has made an appointment to talk to Randolph Phelps, the head of the infants' hospital, and Phelps has invited Nick to be present at the interview. Will this prove to be the break that Nick has been looking for? Is he about to meet the head of the gang? Listen tomorrow. The Strange Adventures of Nick Carter, Master Detective, features Lon Clark as Nick Carter. Patsy is played by Helen Choate. The stories are written by Bob Arthur and David Cogan, and original music is played by Lou White. The entire production is under the direction of Jock McGregor. Tomorrow night at the same time, listen to the further adventures of Nick Carter in the case entitled...
Kidnapped for Sale, or Nick Carter and the Mystery of the Missing Babies.
The adventures of Nick's adopted son, Chick Carter, boy detective, are broadcast over most of these stations Monday through Fridays at 5:30 p.m. Eastern War Time. Nick's own show, The Return of Nick Carter, a copyrighted feature of Street & Smith Publications, Incorporated, is presented by the Mutual Broadcasting System and is broadcast from our New York studios over most of these stations every evening, Monday through Friday at 9:15 Eastern War Time. This is Mutual.
This is Andrea J. Graham, author of the Web Surfer series. Oh, and A Madam's Wife. You're listening to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio.
Welcome back. I actually thought that they resolved the cliffhanger in a really neat way, with Nick using his brain and just quick thinking in order to give enough time in order to save their lives. I also thought that the boss of the chief was really appropriately sinister in intimidating the mom in that episode. You really did feel the guy was a creep. The one negative thing is it is weird to have someone who is the chief, but he's not the one in charge. It's like, then why are you calling him the chief? Maybe a better name for that character, the under chief or deputy in charge. But that's a nitpick, and what I think has really been a very strong serial for Nick Carter so far. So we'll see how this one lands with the conclusion. Well, we do turn now to listener comments and feedback now. Bobby writes, the two Batman movies from the 40s are my favorites. I enjoyed hearing you mention one of them. Well, thanks so much, Bobby. Yeah, I saw the 1949 Batman serial. I've seen a couple of times. The first, I actually checked it out of the library and just watched it straight through. And then I saw the Riff Tracks version, which was really funny, though I think that it was still a decent serial The 43 version I haven't seen, I do own and hope to get around to watching it maybe sometime later on this year, Lord willing. Thanks so much for the comment, Bobby. Joey writes, it's great to hear new Nick Carter episodes. Seth writes, yay, keep them coming. Be glad to buy unheard episodes. Well, thanks so much, Seth. I don't actually sell unheard episodes. If I come across an unheard episode, I end up playing it for free, unless there's some restriction on sharing it. Will emails in, it's really great to be hearing Nick Carter again. I've been listening for 5 years now, and the Great Detectives has never failed to give great content. Keep up the good work. Take care. Well, thanks so much, Will. Jacob emails in, and he says, I wanted to ask a two-part question. Would you consider old-time radio Perry Mason worthy of Great Detectives, even though he's an attorney at law? Do you know of any extant recordings of the old-time radio programs? And he asks further, would you or have you considered including extant old-time radio Perry Mason in your show, for example, in future episodes or maybe a summer special? Great question. I guess I'll start with the status of the programs. And it is, there are episodes out there of Perry Mason. There are around 300 episodes. However, the problem is that they were serialized stories. And essentially, from what I've been able to read from logs, you don't have any complete stories. And that's really why I would not consider Perry Mason for Great Detectives of Old Time Radio, because I need a complete story. And from what I gather, just because the arcs were so long, even though you've got 300 episodes, you don't really have like a final episode of a storyline that's collected. So I haven't even got to the point of listening to the programs because I don't like to listen to things where I can't get a complete story. I don't have any problem with playing a series where the character is in a different official occupation than detective. You know, Rocky Fortune, really most episodes wasn't a detective. Randy Stone was a reporter. Dan Holliday was a reporter turned novelist. And we've done our fair share of attorneys. We did The Amazing Mr. Malone / Murder in Mr. Malone, Defense Attorney, and A Life in Your Hands. And eventually we're going to do Public Defender. So that's really not an issue. It's just, you know, is this a series where you go out and you solve mysteries? And do you have complete stories? And unfortunately, the problem with Perry Mason is it just doesn't meet that standard. But thanks so much for the question, Jacob. That will do it for today. Join us back here tomorrow for Rocky Jordan, and then we'll be back again next Tuesday with another episode of Nick Carter. In the meantime, send your comments to box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.